This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio Ignition. And we have some very serious things to discuss on this week's show. Obviously, the Tony Stewart incident that resulted with the passing of Kevin Ward Jr. at Canandaigua. The dirt track in upstate New York is on everybody's minds. And frankly, we have decided to do the show a bit early this week because everybody out there, whether they be knowledgeable about motorsport or not, is throwing their opinions out and around about this. And we understand that everybody in the WFO Radio audience also has an opinion, a thought, and wants to sort through this very tragic situation. And so we have gotten together on a Monday, late afternoon, early evening to do the show. And we hope that if any first-time listeners have clicked the link or downloaded the show, you will stick with us through this analysis because, frankly, I love the sport of car racing, motorsports. If it's got a wheels, if it's got wheels, an engine, and a driver, I'm there. I love it. I enjoy it. I get it. And it does take a very specific mind state to understand it. The mind of the racer, the people who participate on a regular basis, they know things that the average person don't quite understand about this sport. And when you hear the coverage in the wake of something like this, it often is a turnoff. And you wonder, well, these people don't simply understand what's going on out there. And that is the fact in this case. But everyone has to have an opinion. Every major media outlet has had an opinion. We are going to try to tackle it with our unique WFO Radio perspective. And we will open the phones. We will solicit emails and tweets during the show. Hopefully, you will stick with us, not just through this show, but through the rest. First of all, let me say this is a horrific tragedy that has affected the racing community. And as with most tragedies, there are many different elements to it. There is no one thing that could have prevented it or stopped the problem. Multiple layers here. And so we will try to get to the bottom of it before we go any further. Let's bring Giovanni in Miami, who has made the trek here to the WFO Radio studios. Clearly, this has an effect on you because Tony Stewart is your driver. Since the very beginning, you were a Tony Stewart fan, and suddenly your driver is involved in an incident, in a tragedy, in a story, other than winning or losing races.
Once again, would be the only thing I could really say. Once again involved in an incident.
Once again, but this one...
No, this is as horrible
far exceeds anything that has happened. And it is a shame, but I immediately think that, first of all, whenever there is a tragedy, you have what I have coined on the show and in life as the tide of ignorance. The first thing that happens is the tide of ignorance. When all the people who don't really know express their opinion. The tide of ignorance.
The noise.
The noise. Whatever the issue is, whatever the thing is that happens, The first thing is going to be the tide of ignorance. Here come all the comments from everybody who don't really know, flowing over the top of us. But then the tide of ignorance will recede and leave, hopefully, some clarity and information.
Well, like in every time something happens, whether it's tragic or what have you, when it involves sports or something else, and it filters into the main media and into the non-sports, those people that really don't know are forced to give an opinion on something. It's almost like just part of the news cycle. This is big news, and now they have to talk about it, even though they really don't follow racing or motorsports or maybe sports at all in general. And so you get a lot of that, what you call the tide of ignorance. I like to call it noise, because, boy, has it been noisy.
It is very noisy. These people, it's a big story. It got their attention. We're always wondering, why doesn't racing get their attention? Well, it got their attention.
Sad, because the only time that racing seems to really permeate the mainstream is when tragedy happens, or in NHRA when a funny car body blows up off the car. But mostly when tragedy. That's the only time they want to really, you know, dedicate and even a minute into what it is that we like.
That is true. It is unfortunate. I think we could discuss why. I think it's because racing is complicated. Racing is not easy to understand. It's not easy to follow. We're all football fans here. We are all baseball fans here. We're all basketball fans here. At their most complicated, they can be understood by the layman.
Right, like the strategy might be complicated, but not the just put the ball through the hoop or hit the ball with a bat.
Simple.
That's pretty simple.
Take this ball and push it over that line. There it is. You've watched it as a youth. You've watched it in high school. It is no way alien to you.
Right. Most of us played these sports, whether we actually played in high school or whether we just played like during physical education or what have you. We all played Little League and were involved in sports. And that's why I think it's easier for people to understand, to relate to those sports.
Racing is different. And that's why it is a great challenge. It is why I love going on these other regular radio shows and trying to educate people to why and what is going on, as I did today a couple of times to try to explain what's going on here. I know we have a lot of WFO radio listeners who have posted on our WFO radio Facebook page, who have put up things in the group, who have tweeted. I'm going to try to cut through all of it to the mustard, which is, I do not think at this time,
with the facts that we have,
based on the facts that we have as of 6:43 p.m. Monday afternoon following the incident, that Tony Stewart had any criminal intent. When the story broke, the first I saw of it was on a Bleacher Report push notification that said something along the lines of, Tony Stewart swerves at a driver and hits him. Now, I find that forgivable at that moment, because they're getting the news out, and given what we now know, you could see someone thinking that. But now we have the video, we've been able to study the video, we have studied the video, and I believe that Tony Stewart did not show any criminal intent, which is important. A lot of people immediately started throwing around the idea of murder, charges. This guy ran him down. And we are going to explore, hopefully, systematically, all of these trains of thought. What is not true and what will not happen is a blanket yes or no, black or white, right or wrong conclusion, because that is not out there. What I think we run into so often in our world, not just in something like this, a tragedy on a racetrack, but in all forms of challenges that we deal with as a civilization and as a world, is that people don't want a complicated answer. They want this person to be evil, this person to be good. Who's Luke Skywalker? Who's Darth Vader? Who should I be rooting for? I can't handle this mismatch of good and evil and bad and right and wrong, and he was sort of wrong, but not really. But if he hadn't done this wrong thing, he wouldn't have been there, and so it wouldn't have happened. And that's what this is.
Well, and I'll give you this. Partly sports in general are to blame, because in sports, mostly everything is black and white. We have a winner, we have a loser. Either you made it or you didn't make it. You won or you lost. You're the champion or you're the loser.
Right. You're to be celebrated, you know, or you're to be mocked.
And right. And so either we can say, oh, you did great by doing this, or you did terrible by not doing it. And there's always straight lines, yes or no. And this issue right here where we have, it's very gray matter.
There's all gray matter. It's all gray matter. So the Stewart fans who love Tony Stewart, we're experiencing something, I don't want to call it new, but I want to call it proving something. The NASCAR driver, the fans of the NASCAR driver may become more attached to their driver, to their idol, to their icon than in any other sport. Because we know that in the sport of auto racing, there's always a debate. Is it a sport? Is it not a sport? And the people who are against it being a sport say it's not a sport because in their eyes, they somehow hold the idea of sport higher than whatever auto racing is. But if auto racing is not a sport, it is not a sport because it is more serious than a sport. It is something on a higher level where at every moment, unfortunately, but at every moment, wherever you are on pit road, a corner worker, an official, the flagman, a driver, death might be considered at that moment. Well, you are at a serious place in a serious environment where death is a possibility, and that has been proven to anyone who has been around it, if they've been around it for any period of time.
Well, that's the main difference with any motorsport in general, that every time you get in that car, there's a possibility that you might not step out of it.
Or
whereas in any other sport, we've had incidents where guys got paralyzed on the field or severely injured while playing a game. That is something that is completely out of the norm, completely unexpected, and just, like I'm saying, completely out of the norm. Whereas if someone dies in an auto sport or in a motorsport event, it's not completely out of the norm. It can happen. It's one of the inherent risks of what you are doing.
The fact that it happens less often now is a new thing that has been created because we have decided as a civilization that it is unacceptable to lose our friends. Just watch Rush the other night. Two drivers a year were dying every year. Imagine that. Do we or want to have the stomach for that? The answer is clearly no. We don't, and we don't want to, and we will fight against it. That is part of this. We are going to open the phones, but first I want to give my prescription for what happened or my analysis. And I could take a long time, but I'm going to just rapid fire through it. I know we've got, as sad and twisted as it is, I know we've got new listeners who are listening to this show for this take. They won't listen to our program on a regular basis when we're yucking it up and having fun talking about who picked the winner of the race or mocking the people who failed in our fantasy league or breaking down the analysis of whatever happened or who's going to win the championship. But because this is a raw, rough issue, people want to listen. They want to know. And I want them to get it before they get bored. And here you go. Multiple angles. First, we're going to start on the Tony Stewart angle. Tony Stewart angle, this is from my perspective. Gio, I'll say the Tony Stewart, I'll give my angle, then I would like to hear your opinion as well. Tony Stewart angle. Gotta love this guy. This guy is a hard-nosed racer, coming from the bottom up, rough around the edges, has always been extremely stubborn. We like him because of that. People like him because of that. Many, many times in the past, I have sat behind the microphone and stated that Tony's behavior has not been the right way to act in certain situations. And the response is always, that's Tony being Tony. And that's why we like him. And I understand that. I learned to understand that. I actually learned to appreciate that. However, at some point in everyone's existence, tough decisions have to be made. And last year, after Tony was involved in an incident that broke his leg in a sprint car and jeopardized his business and brought a lot of questions about, should you be pursuing this endeavor as a hobby when you are the principal of this large organization that has much bigger things going on? Should you be out there racing amongst novices, racing at race facilities that maybe don't have absolute first-class, top-notch response capabilities? Should you be doing that? I don't think he should have been there. That was the first mistake. Should have never been there. Now, he's involved in a tight race with a young man, Kevin Ward. Some people say that the two drivers had contact. I didn't see that. I still haven't seen that. I think Tony passed him pretty clean. Kevin Ward ran out of room and should have lifted off the throttle and gotten back after it. But looked like he caught the cushion and spun out, blew a tire, and was enraged. Tony is coming back around, and we do not know any factual information other than Tony's car hit Kevin Ward. Do we know, was Tony angry at Kevin Ward? No, we don't. Do we know that Tony saw Kevin Ward? No, we don't. Do we know that he intentionally did anything? No, we don't. We don't know anything. Of course, there's been pure speculation. What we do know is it was dark. We know Kevin Ward's fire suit was mostly black. We know that Kevin Ward came charging down the racetrack excessively. In my opinion, Kevin Ward misidentified the car that he was angry at. He comes down pointing, and to encounter the car, to confront who he thinks is the person that wrecked him, maybe he thinks it's Tony Stewart, or maybe he just thinks that's the guy, but then you see him back up a little and start pointing at another guy. That's Tony Stewart, and at that point, it was almost too late, and the contact is made. Some say Tony Stewart accelerated or hit the gas. That doesn't prove anything to me, because number one, Tony could have been accelerating to get around him. Number two, Tony might not have seen him. Number three, you have to be hitting the accelerator under caution in race cars in general at various times regardless. So there's nothing to be proven there. The second Tony Stewart contacted Kevin Ward, and Kevin Ward, for all intents and purposes, was killed nearly instantly, if not instantly. Tony Stewart stopped, and everyone was aware of the tragedy. I think that the commentary that came after is the problem. Tony Stewart, in my opinion, as of now, showed no criminal intent and is probably as affected by this tragedy as anything in his life. And I'm sure there is a great amount of regret in him right now for all of these things. Frankly, even showing up at the track, even choosing to race these cars again, because that's a decision that could have been made that wasn't. That's the Tony Stewart side of things. Is there anything that you don't think I covered there?
No, not really.
Okay, part two. Immediately afterwards, people on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, the rise of the tide of ignorance came out, blaming Tony Stewart, suggesting that maybe he did it on purpose, suggesting that maybe he had a rage moment. And it is a shame, because all of these things are rooted in other things that happened at other times. The only reason anybody even thought that Tony might have run the kid over out of rage or anger is because Tony has been so willing to expose his rage and anger in the past. The only reason we're even considering the idea of a criminal charge is because Tony has at times made us question his judgment and his temper. And the only reason anybody might even think, did Tony Stewart see this kid and say, you know what, kid?
I'm going to teach him a lesson.
I'm going to scare him a little bit and get close to him and show him what's up and show him not to mess with me because I'm Tony Stewart. The only reason that thought is there, and it is there, and it needs to be considered, and if you're not considering that maybe that might have happened, then you haven't seen Tony Stewart perform all these other times. Those performances, Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth, it's a 10-minute long string of videos. They're showing
Kurt Busch when he was in the two car. Lots of issues then.
Example after example after example of Tony being Tony that everybody loved. They loved it. They like it. They like Tony because he's willing to show his temper. That has put the idea that he might have snapped in the minds of people. And that is unfortunate. And so what do I come out of it when we look at the Tony Stewart angle of it? Well, Tony is going to carry this with him for the rest of his life. And every young kid, every young racer, every person out there should try to learn from the mistakes of others. And the moment that you want to freak out and have a temper tantrum moment, you might think, you know what? This is going to leave a lasting impression on others that may judge me in the future when I don't want them to. And that's what happened with Tony Stewart. That's where it's all coming from. The Tony Stewart road rage moments of the past. And it's a shame. It's unfortunate. But that's the way I see it. Now, Kevin Ward is not without blame. In fact, I think Kevin Ward shoulders the majority of the burden of the blame. I have seen a lot of people in the tide of ignorance basically say, the kid deserves it. I have seen no one say the kid deserves it, but I've seen them say, well, he shouldn't have got out of his car. That's how it is. Tony's exonerated. Whatever. The kid, it's a sensitive situation. Nobody wants to see a young person killed right in front of their eyes on a video. And so sometimes you have to absolve yourself of that horrible feeling by saying it's the kid's fault. And maybe it is the kid's fault because he shouldn't have done what he did. And when he did what he did it wrong. He picked the wrong car. He engaged the wrong person. He then doubled back and was in the wrong spot. He got hit by a car. If he had done it the way he had seen Tony Stewart do it on ESPN or on Fox or on TNT, he wouldn't have gotten hit. But how many times have we seen drivers go confront other drivers and they use it on television and it's a part of the sport that everybody says, wow, there's a human being in there. Look at that. Look at that guy. He's mad, man. This is real. I'm going to watch. And so the kid is 20. Let's face it, folks. The 20-year-old mind does not know much.
I wouldn't go as far as saying does not know much.
You don't have but a lot of experience.
No, you don't. But
to draw
it's real simple here. Look at the stats. There's a reason why most people under 25 can't even rent a car. They won't rent you a car until you're 25. You can't have alcohol until you're 21. If you look at stats, most people that commit crimes and do stuff that are in prisons, the vast majority are about 18 to 30.
Period. End of story.
It's just just a point in your of your time that you have lack of experience, that you're a little
lack
emotional. You get emotional. And folks, when we get emotional and we try to make a decision at that moment, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, it's not a good decision.
Bad decisions.
It's an emotional decision, and usually when you make decisions under emotional distress, they're bad decisions. And if you had it to do over again and go back, now that you're calm, you probably wouldn't do what it is you did when you were angry, whether it's yell at somebody or hit your kid or whatever it is.
Period.
That's it. And this 20-year-old kid got a little over-emotional and walked out onto a track a little too far and paid the ultimate price for it.
A decision that was in error 1/1,000,000th of a second. Just a step too far, a road too long. He just made a bad decision at that moment because he was seeing the red mist. 1 second, he was battling with a 3-time cup champion, and he was wheel-to-wheel with a racing icon. The next minute, he was blown tire. He got angry. He was going to go confront. Without that 1 second to cool it down, you just want to grab him, calm down. You can race again next week. But he did not do it, and he went out and just got hit by a car. What is to be learned from that? If nothing comes out of this and nobody learns anything, it's for nothing. What is to be learned? You have to control your emotions. Both Tony Stewart being blamed, being accused, because he fails to control his emotions. The kid is dead because he failed to control his emotions. And in the sport of auto racing, where death is already a specter that looms, you cannot have that. And so, was it the kid? Yes. Was it Tony? Yes. Was it some combination of what's going on and how did they get there? All the greatest tragedies are the convergence of multiple negative elements. And that's what this is. And it is horrible, and it is sad. The next day, Greg Zipidelli saying business as usual.
The next morning.
Big mistake. Big mistake. That's when you hire.
That comes across as insensitive. Just saying that, oh, today it's business as usual for us.
He means for us, we're going to focus on our tasks at hand because that's what we have to do. But see, Greg Zipidelli should have said, today we're going to focus on our normal tasks because that's our job. Instead, he said business as usual, which is unfortunately insensitive. This is why people hire crisis management teams. This is why. Because they did a lot of things wrong. Tony Stewart was going to race. No, you cannot race the day after you're involved in a fatality. Period.
Yeah, 12 hours later.
You cannot. There were a lot of elements out there that all came that made this really ugly, and it's going to continue for a while. So there it is. That's my perspective. I'm sure I could have said things more artfully. I'm sure I could have said things in a smoother, better way. But we're all feeling this. And people that we like and respect and want to cheer for obviously are involved. And people that, who knows what we would have been cheering about them. A kid who has been racing since he was 4 years old, Kevin Ward Jr., will never race again. And the burden will be felt by the entire racing community. I anticipate there will be rules changes, and we'll discuss them in a little bit. Right now would normally be where I would tell you about one of our sponsors. And they are great. And I will tell you later on in the show. I'll tell you all about them. But we're going to go to just a quick break, pre-recorded stuff, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll open the phones and get to some of the opinions out there from you guys, because I know you want to vent and you have opinions about this that maybe I did not cover. But again, my assessment is obviously it's a horrible tragedy in a very serious sport where two people involved at different times failed to control the ultimate factor, which is themselves, multiple times. And here we are, unfortunately. Hopefully, if you just started listening to the show, you'll stick with us
And those that are checking out, well, we appreciate that too. Have a nice day. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. We have just sent the push notification alerting the audience that the phone lines are open. I will tweet, but I'm receiving bad information, negative information as well. Oscar winner and comedian Robin Williams died this morning at the age of 63. Wow. Robin Williams. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Dead Poets Society. There's just a billion movies that he was in that were great. Get this. He's been battling severe depression as of late. This is a tragic, sudden loss. The family respectively asks their privacy and the grief during a difficult time. Some people are suggesting it might have been a suicide. So, wow. That is nightmarish.
That's what's being reported, that it was dies of suspected suicide.
Wow. Robin Williams. I don't even know how to respond. We have our own. Clearly, there's, you know, very aggravating whenever someone who knows what their life situation is like, being famous, being wealthy, being loved by many. But suicide is just such a terrible, pointless thing. I don't want to put myself in anyone's shoes. So we've opened the phone lines. I've sent the official push notification, although I have failed to receive it myself, as we have last week. Giovanni, did you get it?
I got one right now. Phones are open. Okay.
The last thing I want is for people to think that in any way I'm passing a negative judgment on any of the people involved. Nobody wants this. This is not what anybody wanted. But it is caused, it has happened, and it's not the kind of thing you can just move on from. Watching and listening to the mainstream media try their best to deal with it without knowing the racer mentality has been painful.
Just having to listen to locally here any number of hosts that don't watch racing, that don't follow NASCAR, be forced to give their opinion on something which they really don't have a lot of knowledge on, it's terrible.
Understanding. You need to have understanding of what the situation is. I heard people say, for instance, Kevin Ward Jr.'s friend, who immediately says, I know what it's like in these cars, and he definitely saw him. In the first quote that we heard, you hear Tony's, his engine revved. All of that is emotion. He just saw his friend killed in a car accident, and he immediately thinks to himself, that's Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart's a hothead. Tony Stewart hit him on purpose. I can see. Tony could see. That's not, none of that is true. The natural human response to everything is to be emotional. And that's always bad. I'll give you an example that's not on this topic that just happened to me the other day. And it happened on social media. Because social media is the worst for this. It is. It's a curse. There's this thing going on in Iraq with this ISIS or ISIL, depending on who you're listening to. And they're a real barbaric bunch. And they're doing a lot of horrible, horrible, seriously horrible things. But people are taking photographs of the horrible things and posting them along with their personal messages, meaning, look at this, and then I want you to think about this. They're trying to use the images to cause an emotional freak out so that judgment is clouded, so that you maybe subscribe to what they're saying. So it was a picture of a kid with like four AK-47s pointed at its head. Now that image is going to cause you to feel something, unless you are not human. You're going to feel this feeling, the natural primal urges and things that happen in your body that we cannot control about ourselves. They begin to squirt adrenaline and all kinds of chemicals into your system. The fight or flight of the human. You see a baby with a gun at its head, you feel an emotion. You see someone get hit by a car, you feel an emotion. Immediately, judgment of everything from that point on may be clouded. Is it your friend? What happened? What did you see? What do you think you saw? That's why we do these lineups. You bring 10 people in and nobody thinks it's the same guy. It's a very difficult situation. Now, what's going to come out of it? That, I think, is important. At some point, we're going to talk about A.J. Allmendinger and, obviously, the victory. But right now, phone lines are open. We're going to go out to the phone lines and see who's on the WFO line. Who is out there on the WFO line?
Hey, Joe. It's Dina Parisi. Dina Parisi Racing. How are you?
Hello, Dina Parisi from Dina Parisi Racing, soon to have a really cool Cadillac CTS-V Pro Mod car. How are you?
I'm very well. I actually called to chime in on the Tony Stewart deal.
Excellent. What is your thought on the situation and how are you holding up?
You know, I know, unfortunately, everyone has an opinion, and I think we need to kind of, unfortunately, stop having opinions.
I like your opinion about not having opinions.
Yeah, you know, as a driver, I think that we a lot of people don't understand that nobody really knows but the driver what happens when an incident happens. When we crash, when something happens on the track, nobody really knows what happens except for that driver. You know, you're the one who's in the cockpit, you're the one who's in there, so I think that you're the one who has kind of the hold on everything that's happening. And I think they need to let him feel out what's going on and let them deal with it, and then let's see what happens at the end.
Absolutely agree. I don't even know for sure that Tony Stewart knows for sure what happened, because one moment he's racing and the kid is way up on the high side and Tony passes him. We don't know that Tony even knew that the kid crashed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's caution is out. Okay, lights are on. Caution is out. Yellow flag. Slow it down. Hey, there's a crash car. Oh, there's a guy. And you don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'm hoping that it does bring about some change. I know there was one track, I don't remember the name of it, that did already bring about some change about, you know, not getting out of your car on a hot track unless, you know, your car is on fire or whatnot. And I think that, you know, his, it's unfortunate, and our condolences go out to Kevin Ward and his family. And I hope that it will bring about some positive change and we'll be able to change this unfortunate situation into a positive one.
Got to learn something from it. And that's what we're talking about. Have to learn something from it. Clearly, there will be a rules change. I'm getting ready to give my prescription for that, which is basically what you said. I think the days of seeing a driver throw a helmet at another driver or point at another driver on track or go confront anybody anywhere, the willpower, double finger salute, all of that, I think those days have to be over. Those kind of confrontations need to happen back in the paddock or the pit area. They can't happen on the track anymore, and this is the reason.
Yeah, there are some things in our own sport that need to change as well. You know, I think holding on to a car when it's doing a burnout, when someone's chance to get caught in a wheel, are absolutely things that need to change as well. But that's my personal opinion.
There are many.
You know, those are safety concerns that we have. That's something that I will not let our own crew do, but we see it happen all the time. You know, and you just don't want something to happen. You want to be proactive instead of reactive.
Totally agree. 100%, 100% agreement. And I like, we have to do that about everything. Like, look at situations and think about them. Could that be dangerous? Could we be dealing with a tragedy there? Could it easily be remedied through a couple of policy changes? Yes, we should do it. All right, Dina.
Absolutely.
Will we see you in Indianapolis for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals?
You will not see us. The car is in the final stages, and then we'll get it out and get it tested, and we'll let everyone know where we're going to be after that.
Please do. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Dina Parisi checking in. Dina Parisi Racing. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter, Pro Modified Driver. And perfect example. Perfect example. What I would do, and this is the way the world works. And I'm choosing my words very carefully. If you listen to the show on a weekly basis, you might notice that I'm not quite as free-flowing as I normally am, because this is delicate stuff. This is delicate. I want to be a politician about this. I want to say the right thing, because I don't want someone to misinterpret what I'm saying. We're going through this in everything. For instance, in the NFL, they're currently going through a period of changing the rules in many different ways. They are doing this for a reason. They have uncovered the fact that the way things were previously maybe causes a higher propensity to have concussions, which maybe cause this disease later in life.
The CTE.
Right. The letters. THC, CTC. That's perfect for Geo's Tools, the segment at the tail end of the show where we correct all the mistakes. I highly recommend it. And there are a lot of NFL fans that are saying, you know what? They're sympathizing our sport, and we shouldn't do anything. And there's always going to be people who fight anything that is designed to make something safer or easier or not the way it used to be. I'll give you an example. There was once a period in time in NASCAR where nobody was mandated to wear the head and neck restraint device, known as the HANS, head and neck restraint device. There was a time where they thought that mandating that was against their best interest, to make that a rule. And then after the passing of Dale Earnhardt, and by the way, I know that all of you know this story. I'm just illustrating it. Some drivers still didn't want to use the HANS after the passing of Dale Earnhardt and fought it. And that was Tony Stewart. But he eventually acquiesced. There were some drivers, Dale Earnhardt, who didn't want to go to a closed face helmet. Think about that now. And think about yourself and what you thought about that then. Because I can tell you that back then, younger, less wise, more ignorant Joe thought he should be allowed to wear the open face helmet if he chose to. Because that's his decision. Because he's the one in the car. I felt like it would take away a competitive advantage from Dale Earnhardt, who could feel the air on his face. That's what I thought. I was wrong. That was a bad move. Now, is that the sole reason why Dale Earnhardt, the head and neck, the HANS device, could that have saved Dale Earnhardt? I don't know. Could the head HANS device and a closed face helmet and safer barriers have saved Dale Earnhardt? Whew. If you say that, I think the answer is yes.
Well, in the end, we don't know, but the numbers suggest that he probably would not have passed had he been wearing a HANS, a closed helmet, and into a softer barrier or safer barrier or some sort of softer wall. We've seen accidents much worse than Dale's happen after all these safety innovations have come in. And we've seen guys walk away. So that's the only real thing we can go by. I'm not going to say for sure that he would have lived, but the data suggests that he probably would have.
Thank you very much. And so now there's going to have to be some rules changes, I think. We're going to have to look at a couple of situations and do what we did during the Dale Earnhardt time, a reevaluation once again. And the on-track confrontation where one driver is in a car and the other driver is on foot, I believe it has to end. I think that we should have probably known that prior to this.
We should have known it. And now as all the news sources, whether it's ESPN or CNN or just regular media, are showing different videos and different situations of Tony being a hothead, they've shown other incidents that didn't involve Tony where other drivers have taken the car on pit road to hit each other and have almost hit crew members. Like, in a way, without getting too crazy on this, NASCAR is really partially to blame for this kind of tragedy happening.
And you're right now, I'm going to stop you there because that is a great next conversation, because a lot of people are saying to themselves, well, first of all, this wasn't even a NASCAR race. It wasn't a NASCAR sanctioned race. This wasn't has what does this have to do with NASCAR, really? And I'll tell you
a lot.
They lead the way when it comes to everything. And yes, sure, there are tracks. I talked about Tony Stewart. He should not have been there. Was the original thing. He shouldn't have been there. Best defense, no be there. Mr. Miyagi, don't be there where the danger is, where the poor safety is and the bad lighting is and the inexperienced drivers are and the drivers that are trying to make a name just because they finished a position ahead of you. All of that. There's a reason you shouldn't be there, but he was there. But there's a million reasons you shouldn't be there. Now, how does the current state of NASCAR influence these moments? What were you going to say?
I believe that NASCAR has made a living marketing this type of situation. This is what they project. The Allison fight in the infield that Daytona in 78.
That put them on the map. That they credit, that everyone credits. That fight, a confrontation for putting them on the map. There was a blizzard. No one could get out. They were forced to watch NASCAR for the first time. They were forced to watch it. The race was on TV for the first time. There's a fight. And everyone said, wow, man driving machine at breakneck speeds and confrontation. This is real. This is human.
The emotion of it. The fact that this has been going on in their sport repeatedly and they have never really done something about it. That we've had multiple incidents where guys, or even Danica in this case, have gotten out of their car and thrown helmets at other cars, thrown their gloves, thrown ankle pads, whatever, those heating pads to keep themselves...
Heel covers,
thrown all kinds of stuff, whatever they have at the other drivers. We've even seen drivers like Jeff Gordon get out of the car and push Matt Kenseth, a normal, mild-mannered guy. Totally different because it was, you know, two guys out of the car after the race, but... Nonetheless, I feel that NASCAR is partially to blame because they promote this. Like the NFL used to promote the big hits, NASCAR has always promoted this emotion and this rah-rah and fighting, and they've never done anything about it.
Well, let's get into it, but first the phones are open, and Restrictor Plate is out there on the line. Sean, welcome. Unfortunate circumstance. What do you got?
What's up?
Hi.
I seen earlier that they're going to stop this thing. Can you hear me okay?
You're kind of cutting in and out a little bit. Can you do something to stabilize your connection?
Let me try calling you right back here in a second.
Wait a second. Let's see. Right now, you're good. You're stable right now. What are you doing? You standing on your head? Stay there.
No, I'm in Ohio. That's what happens when you're in Ohio.
Yeah, it's at least they can drink the water there. Oh, wait. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
But I heard earlier about... and seen where you were posting that you wanted to talk about this thing with Tony.
Yes, we're talking about it now.
Well, what's that?
Go right ahead.
Well, I've got my opinion with this thing. It's a racing accident, and after listening to news and NASCAR radio all day, I am just sick and tired of people that, and this is what I've complained about since day one of the chase. They want to change everything because they can't handle the truth. Nothing is safe. Nothing is perfect in there except for their little mind of a world. They need to get off of this stuff, leave things alone, and just let things happen the way they have happened for millions of years. I mean, just because it was an accident doesn't mean deliberately try to kill somebody. It's getting ridiculous. You ain't going to even be able to go to a NASCAR race or an outlaw race or anything because of the little old lady that wants to stop all the people getting hurt.
Well, let me ask you something, because I understand we were just kind of talking about this opinion, and I don't disagree in certain areas. If NASCAR said tomorrow, not just NASCAR, NASCAR, IndyCar, like all major racing series, basically made a blanket rule, not together, but independently of one another together, that drivers are no longer allowed to walk out onto the track to confront another driver that's still in his car, basically. And you've seen that hundreds of times in NASCAR, and it happens a lot in dirt track racing, where the guy is up against the wall, he gets out of his car, and he kind of walks down the track a little bit towards the cars that are circulating under caution, and there is a little, like, finger point confrontation thing like that. If that was penalized in an extreme way, like, if you do that, you miss your next race, so nobody ever did it again, do you think the sport would really suffer?
Yes, because the simple reason I could say that is, are you going to be able to make a rule, because this is what you're asking, that you're driving down the road in your personal vehicle, some little idiot, punk kid, whatever you want to say, cuts you off, the law states you can't say a word out loud at any time. that's the same type of rule you're trying to make.
Like an impossible rule.
You're talking about raw emotion. You cannot put a rule on raw emotion.
It's a tough argument. I mean, that is...
it's
against the law to kill people, and people still kill people.
What did we have? We had everybody complain. They're making too many rules. It was boring. You know, all they are cookie-cutter drivers anymore. We're going to go right back to it again, Joe.
Right. The NASCAR Let the Boys Be Boys thing that was, brought back a certain... Definitely got rid of the horrible period of sterilization that everybody hated. That was terrible. Sean, I'm just thinking to myself that an unprotected person near cars that are going 40 miles an hour is a recipe for disaster, and that at some point the people, the civilization, the sponsors, are not going to want to be associated with it. And so that aspect has to be cleaned up somehow. I'm all for the person-to-person confrontation, the Kenseth getting shoved to the ground like a small person by Jeff Gordon. I'm all for the two cars in the garage and the drivers and the crews getting together and pushing each other. I'm all for all of that. I just think that unprotected human near cars going 35, 40 miles an hour, especially at night in the dark where one might not see past the other, is clearly more dangerous than two guys on foot.
Okay, Joe, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be hard about this thing. It's just I've listened to this junk all day.
We started the show today.
Yesterday, I was the person that brought it up at church to pray for this kid's family. I mean, I feel for him. I feel for Tony Stewart. I mean, it's a tragedy what happened, but accidents happen. You cannot prevent accidents from happening. That's the meaning of accident. You can't prevent it, Joe. Nothing you are ever can say or do will prevent an accident.
Tough to argue against that. My thought was that the kid should have everyone should have done a little bit better with themselves, and they could have prevented this.
Yes, they could have. They could have got the safety workers out there a little bit faster. You know, it might have helped something. It got the other car slowed down a little bit. You know, there's many scenarios that go on. And, I mean, I'm not placing blame on Tony or the kid, but the kid knew Tony's car, all the other cars were moving. He's been doing it how many years?
16.
How many times has he done that prior and nothing happened?
Who knows? Countless? Who knows? I don't even know.
Exactly. I mean, I feel so bad for the kid's family. I mean, he had to be a decent driver to be where he was at. I mean, to be racing that close to Tony to begin with, you know, at that level, that shows he had a lot of skill. And, I mean, I'm heartbroken about the poor kid's family, Tony, everybody, but they can't – it's a plain, simple argument, can't prevent accidents. You can't make a rule – prevent an accident.
Understood. Sean, thank you for weighing in.
What's that?
I said thank you for calling in.
I was just going to...
Go ahead.
Okay, and I was just going to say one more little thing.
Yes.
Think about WWE. It's the biggest, fakiest thing in the world, right?
Yes.
People get their necks broke in it, too.
Right.
All right, and they die in that. Are we going to take all the stuff away that somebody can die from?
And there lies the question. And the answer is, I don't know. Clearly, I'm a racer. I like racing. Our sport would then, it would change dramatically, as would every, all the X Games would all be gone. There are many, many hobbies that are associated with a little danger, maybe not as much as racing. they would all be gone. And so, you know, it is a difficult situation. I just feel like there are some small policy changes that could be made that maybe would prevent the accident from even happening, from the people from being in position to where the accident can happen. But again,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. But we all agree, though, one thing I think so far everyone agrees on: no criminal intent by Tony Stewart, no desire to hurt another driver by Tony Stewart, and that it was an accident.
If that ever happened on purpose, with, I don't care if it was Jeff Gordon, Dale Jr., Tony Stewart, you name any driver you can think of, if that was ever on purpose, I don't think the man would ever leave the racetrack.
Yeah, maybe, probably not. The racers would...
Not only the racers, the fans would attack.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Plate. Have a good day. Sorry about it.
Bye.
Later. Restrictor Plate, Sean weighing in.
I agree with his statement that you can't stop accidents.
He is the embodiment of what we were just saying, and he made a compelling emotional argument about it. That's why this is not easy. And that's the whole thing. It's not easy to do what we're talking about doing, to make statements. Look, I used a flippant example about gun violence and murder. Murder is against the law. If you murder in many states, you will be killed by the state. Many people
Well, at the very least, you're going to be locked up for a really long time, possibly life, possibly death penalty, depending on where you live.
A tremendous penalty that everybody over the age of 4 or 5 understands will be exacted upon you. And yet murders happen all the time. People, they know that they will be punished.
Well, it's just,
and
forget
they
that.
Do it
here,
anyway.
Here we go. Not every
Why?
State has the death penalty, but those that do, it's still obviously not a deterrent to keep people from killing other people.
Now,
and that's just it.
I think, though, that if you laid out a harsh penalty,
look, I'll give you my opinion.
Drivers
right
would comply.
If, getting back to what I wanted to say, which was, I feel NASCAR is partially to blame because they promote this kind of activity, and this is what their sport over the years has been promoted as: drivers being emotional, getting out and confronting each other. But if a few years ago, when this latest incident happened at a NASCAR track or at a nationwide series or something to that extent, they said, you know what? This is getting awfully dangerous. A crew guy almost got hurt in this instance, or whomever almost got hurt. We don't want it this anymore. If anybody gets out of a car and confronts another driver, you're going to be parked for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is. If you aim your car at another car and there's crew members involved on pit road while there's others out there, you will be parked. I do believe that at some point it will become a deterrent. Maybe not the first driver. Maybe the first driver goes, oh my God, I forgot. But as soon as they see a driver get suspended and not race for a week or maybe two, the next guy is going to be like, oh, wait a minute, I can't do this. Because we've seen it in other sports. Like in basketball, for instance, guys used to run off the bench and get into these big brawls. And somewhere along the line, I think it was after that big Heat-Knicks brawl, if you came off the bench, you're automatically suspended. And they don't have those big brawls in basketball anymore. When there's a fight, it only involves the guys on the court. Because if you come off the bench, you're automatically suspended for X amount of games. And so the guys don't come off the bench anymore. Something to that extent. I'm not one that wants to overly legislate
anything
by any means. But I do think it starts like at the majors and at the highest levels. And that's a lot of reasons why the NFL has certain rules and college goes along and follows those rules, and it trickles all the way to high school and even little league sports, because people look at the highest level of sport as an example. And if it's okay to do it in this sport or at NASCAR or in football, then why isn't it okay for the high school kid to do it?
Absolutely. And did Kevin Ward watch Tony Stewart
or anybody else
or any other person confront another driver and think it was okay. Remember, he's 20, and I'm not disparaging the 20-year-olds out there. I'm just saying you got a lot of growing and maturing yet to do. You have a lot of experiences yet to have, and there's the joke about the young person that thinks they know everything, but the older person knows that they don't. It's just that the older person is too weak and pathetic to do anything now that they know everything. That's the thing.
The joke is that my kid says that his dad didn't know anything when he was 15, and he was shocked to find out how much his dad had learned in 5 years by the time he turned 20.
Well, exactly. I think the numbers are a little
but it was something to that extent that the kid says, my dad used to be really ignorant, and I was just shocked at how much he learned in X amount of years, and it was only a few years later. And it's really that as you get older, you realize that your parents were telling you things for a reason.
You just don't know what you don't know.
And that's it. And look, I feel like, yes, we are 40 now, but I consider myself to be a young 40, and I very much remember what it was like to be 20 years old. And I have – and I recall the emotion and the ignorance that you have.
Ignorance.
And just the general fact that you think that nothing's going to happen to you.
It's never
going to
happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen to me.
I remember having a very, not an animated argument, but close to animated about, and nobody wants to do anything. Like Sean comes in, and Sean's been with us for years and actually disappeared and then came back, and we love the guy. But I remember having an argument with a person, not Sean, about helmets for crew members on pit road. After an incident at Homestead Miami Speedway, and a couple guys got thrown in the air, and NASCAR immediately mandated from basically one day to the next, helmets. You guys got to get helmets. That's it. But the day before, they didn't think that they needed helmets. They didn't think. Nobody needed helmets. What do we need helmets? And then NASCAR comes out with the rule, we need helmets for everybody. And I got into a back and forth with someone says, what do those guys need helmets? They don't need helmets for. Come on. They don't need helmets. This is a sissification of the sport of NASCAR. But they put the helmets on. And now we are, I don't know, 10, 15 years away from that. And does anybody question why the guys on pit road have helmets?
Well, there was a time that they didn't have lap belts and seat belts. They just used a rope to keep themselves attached to the seat. And there were times that they didn't even have to wear fire suits. Should we go back to that?
There was a time where regular cars did not have seat belts because the auto manufacturers didn't want to say it had seat belts because people would have thought that the cars were unsafe. So there's hundreds of examples of humanity, like every person, like all of us. Yeah, some of y'all, you're smarter. And some of y'all, maybe less. And some of y'all, me, who knows where I am. But humanity in general, we are progressing slowly, but you can look back the last 100 years and see lots of little flashpoints where if only we'd known what we knew 6 months from then, 6 months earlier. If only we had known in 1963 that we should have security around our president everywhere in a big way and sweep buildings, but we didn't. If only we knew when the space shuttle launched that we should avoid ice, etc., and so on. If only. If only we knew that we should be checking every person that gets on an airplane because something might happen. If only, but we didn't. And there are all these flashpoints along the way throughout history. Thousands and millions of them that we don't know. And some of them are big and they have to do with like the country and the universe and all of that. And others, like the Black Plague, they were chasing all the, killing all the cats, man. They were killing all the cats. They thought cats were witches and there were spirits in the cats. We got to kill all those cats because there's like vicious demons in the cats. Let's kill them all. Okay. We got rid of all the cats. What's the problem now? Rats. Rats are the problem. Where are all these rats coming from? Well, apparently the cats were killing the rats and now the rats are everywhere and they're spreading the Black Plague and we're all dead. If only we'd have known that. If only the Romans had known that lead is bad. Lead poisoning is bad news, man. You will not think clearly. If only we knew. Well, I think now we know something a little more that we shouldn't leave it up to the kid. Or maybe we should. And there is right there. That's the argument of our time outside of racing. It's the argument of our time. Should we just let the person who may or may not be smart enough to handle a situation, handle it as best as they can, and if they make a mistake and get themselves killed,
it's called natural selection.
Just sweep them off and say, hey, sorry, and keep on going. Or, which we could do that.
Natural selection. Yes, of course.
Some would make the argument, and it's really disgusting and horrible, I'm not going to go there, that this kid was the greater contributor to his own death of anybody, and that he misjudged it. It's horrible, sad tragedy. But another kid might not have done it. And why should we change the way we do anything because of one person? Some people will make that argument. That's the argument Plate just made, pretty much. It's horrible to talk about because we're talking about the death of a person. He's not even, the services haven't even happened yet. I think that it's got to be hybrid. That sometimes it's good to have the rule. And then the day that the rule is broken, like the rule's in place, and the kid wigs out and goes down there and confronts the person and the accident happens, at that point we say, well,
that's why there's a rule.
That's why there's a rule. All right, we got great sponsors here on this show, and I will be telling you about them in the next segment. I feel like we will be talking a little more about the race. We're going to get Rich from the Dirty Hippies on. He's queued up to call, and we're going to keep on going on this special edition of WFO Radio Ignition. Obviously, very negative. Spent a couple of days now hearing a lot of commentary from people that don't understand the racing mentality. The racer, why people do it. At least you can bet that the people who are calling in this show, they understand that. And if an opinion is you're for it, you're against it, you agree, disagree, we just encourage you to email the show, email me, joe@wforadio.com, or tweet, and try to think deeply about this situation and what can be done to learn from it, because it is a tragedy. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
WFO Radio. Total Motorsports. Here's Joe Costello.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. Phones are open. The Tony Stewart situation with Kevin Ward Jr., the 20-year-old young man who was horrifically killed on track in a terrible accident. We are talking about it here on the program, and we've got calls on the line. But before we get to the call, we're going to bring on, as a third co-host of the program, you know him from the WFO Radio Fantasy League. He is Rich York of the Dirty Hippies. Rich, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining us on this, your day off.
Be glad to do it.
Well, before we get to the phones, and we have some callers on hold already, but I just wanted a general statement about where you stand on what went down. We're kind of mowing through it all, and we are mowing through it all, and want to know where you come down.
Have you ever watched those disaster shows on the History Channel, the Modern Marvels, where they say, you know, it wasn't one thing that caused the problem. It was a number of things. And if one thing didn't happen, the whole tragedy wouldn't happen. So probably six or seven things happened to cause that guy to get killed. I mean, it wasn't just one thing. So you can't really blame one person or one aspect. It was a combination of things, and it was just a bad situation.
All right, let's take a call. Let's go out to the phone lines on the WFO line. Who's out there on the wide open line?
This is Craig from Seattle.
Hey, Craig, go ahead. You're on the air with Gio, Rich York, and myself. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing? I hope you can hear me okay, because I'm hearing you guys pretty bad here. But
I can hear you pretty well. I'd call it a 7 out of 10. Go ahead with your point.
All right, you're about 3 out of 10. But anyways, I don't know what you guys have discussed, but like I said on your guys' website yesterday, to me, the sad part about it is just such a needless tragedy. Really, I mean, and to me, the fans and it's not our fault that he got out of his car, but every time one of these guys gets out of their car, and you know they're mad and they're throwing their helmet and this and that, we kind of glorify them. We're like, yeah, it's a good old boys going at it, you know, let the boys have at it. And finally, something happened, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened earlier before, to be honest with you.
And Giovanni was just talking about that and how, and I hadn't really gotten to respond to it. I will. I have a thought about it. But we're kind of going from this weird back and forth from we don't want anybody doing anything. And because we put the rules in place and penalties and whatnot, the drivers clammed up and all became robots, sterile and boring, and nobody liked it, to now,
yes.
Not that they're too wild, because I know they're not too wild, but now people are worried about going back to that, which was horrible. The sterility was terrible. Everyone hated it. You know, the TV producers, they want to show the human element. They cannot show the human element, because the human is in a car, under a helmet, in a fire suit. You can't see anything human about them. They might as well be a robot. And when they do finally get out of the car and do something that resembles what a football player might do, they use that. That's in the promo. They show that on TV. Bristol, we're doing the, look at these guys. He's throwing his heel protectors. He's
right.
Throwing his helmet. He's getting on, pointing this guy. He's jumping on the wall. He's a human. Look at that, everybody. These NASCAR racers and racers in general, they're not just cars. They're human beings in there. And they use that. And unfortunately, maybe it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, and we like that, and I like it too, But just, you know, I just think in the scenario, this film was shot by an amateur photographer or an average, you know, a fan in the stand. What if Kurt Busch, when he was having his go around with Spencer at Bristol, and what if he got caught by Jimmy Spencer who was coming by at a high rate of speed and he goes flipping through the air, and that's on high def in front of a million people. I mean, I liked it, Bill. I'm not going to lie to you, but after this, they got to make it, you know, they got to penalize somebody for getting out of the car. They got you.
I think
they don't have a choice.
The days, right, the days of the unprotected driver confronting the driver still in his race car have got to be over, for no other reason than if it happens on a bigger stage, every single corporate sponsor will run away from the sport crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Craig.
Exactly. All right. Hey, you guys take care, Joe, and I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you very much. Show will be available very soon.
All right, great.
There he is. Rich, do you agree with that opinion?
Well, there was a couple years ago, they showed a guy on a local dirt track, a late model car, had the screen in the front, same type of incident. The guy came running down and jumped feet first through the guy's windshield and kicked him in the head.
I remember that.
And everybody from TV to fans to whoever thought that was the greatest thing ever. Same situation, just different outcome.
Right, like had that guy died, had that man been killed by his judgment, he runs down, jumps through the screen, and is killed, we would have had a different opinion about it.
Could have stopped it right then.
But
could have seen it.
But see, the balance, it's all about balance. I talk about Miyagi as an example for my personal philosophy. You know, Miyagi from The Karate Kid.
The movie character, right?
Yes. But he's a movie character, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned from movie characters, especially wise Okinawans who know karate. And Miyagi had a bunch of great things, obviously. Best defense, no
fly,
be there.
Fly, do not enter, open mouth.
Right. Walk right side of the road safe, walk left side of the road safe, walk in the middle, just like a grape. There is a bunch of things, a bunch of great things about wisdom. And the way things go, like, we have to have balance in our decisions. We cannot make every interaction between the drivers banned. We cannot do that because people will be bored. Frankly, the human element is a big, exciting part of the sport. At the same time, the human element interacting directly with the automotive element is not a good thing. The automotive element tends to win in that battle.
Most of the time.
Rich?
Yes?
This is where you say something wise.
Okay. Well, if you remember back in the 80s at Daytona in the ARCA series, Brad Keselowski's father actually got in an accident under caution and ran over a track worker. Do you remember that?
I do not.
It was during caution, that wreck in the infield, somebody just clipped Keselowski. He went flying into the infield. The guy went flipping twice into the air.
I've seen that on, like, Deadliest Videos or something. I didn't know that that was Brad's dad.
Yep.
Wow.
Brad's dad.
Interesting.
And the car landed right on him with the exhaust right on his head. But he survived. So, I mean, this has happened before. I'd really like to hear from the guy who barely missed Ward, the guy in the blue car right before him. I'd really like to hear what he had to say, what he saw.
And I anticipate that there is a lot more to this story. We're recording this show at a special time on Ignition. It is 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday, and I normally just make it a weekly show, and if you listen on Saturday or listen on Tuesday, you really don't feel any differently about it. But in this case, I'm traveling to Brainerd for the Lucas Oil Nationals on Wednesday. We were going to have to do the show early, so we just decided to get it while it is still raw. New information, I would imagine, is going to come out about this. There are many vantage points from fan cameras that we may or may not have seen, and the other drivers, you'd think, will comment at some point.
And I do think one thing Tony should do from this point forward is name the truck race at Eldora after Ward. just rename the race, get it over with.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to do a lot of PR stuff just in general because, as bad as Joe and I were discussing this earlier, the fact that on Sunday morning they came out with Zipadelli says that, oh, it's just business as usual and Tony will be driving today before they really kind of thought everything through and realized
that's unacceptable.
That would be unacceptable. And even just in general like that, it just sounded distasteful. So I'm sure they're going to have to do stuff. But I don't know. What do you think? Should Tony Stewart maybe not be driving these kind of cars, Rich?
No. I mean, if he wants to drive them, he should be allowed to drive them. I mean, it's...
Well, he should be allowed.
Well, I'm not saying...
It's not his fault.
He should be allowed. But...
No, but given the circumstances of all the issues that Tony Stewart has now been having when he gets involved in sprint car racing, and the fact that he is a big NASCAR superstar, three-time champion of... A big owner. Should he be risking everything that involves that Stuart Haas Racing, his racing empire, by going and getting involved in this when we've seen all the negativity and all the issues that can come from it? Like last year, he missed the second half of the season, cost himself a lot of money, cost his sponsors a lot of money and a lot of airtime by not being in a race car. Because he went sprint car racing and broke his leg and mangled it up and, as it turns out, almost had to have his leg amputated. And now, a year later, he comes back, he finally gets in the sprint car and he wins a race. And almost a year to the date of his accident, is involved in a situation where, once again, he's missing another race in his primary job. Who knows what sponsors might think now, like, hey, do we really want to be involved with this guy who continues to go down to race with these lesser people and in this lesser series and give our Mobile One or Bass Pro Shops a bad name? Like, this might cost Tony Stewart a sponsorship or money, besides the fact that now he's got to live with the fact that he killed somebody.
The fallout has yet to be determined.
But if you're going to do that for him, you have to do that for everybody else, too.
Well, we're not going
to... But not everybody else is a team owner, Tony Stewart. And not everybody is...
But see, you're making it seem Rich thinks you want to make it illegal, like make a rule that Tony's not allowed to do that.
Tony should show Tony Stewart judgment in general. Right.
He should use his own judgment and say to himself, people love Tony because Tony is stubborn. First of all, this is an analysis that I came up with right before the show, and it's coming out now, and it's very raw, but here it is. Ready? People like stubborn people. People like people that hold their ground even when they're wrong. People think that is, in many ways, a virtue, that when the world is against you telling you something, that you say, no, I'm doing it my way because I'm me. And it might be a virtue, but at some point, you have to determine for yourself, does the risk outweigh the reward for you? And I really think, and I said this after you can go back into the archive, after he hurt himself in the sprint car, I said this years ago, that the risk outweighed the reward. All it does is make Tony feel good about himself at that time. He likes it. That's not enough to justify jeopardizing the multi-million-dollar industry, the commitments of the sponsors, the ability to run for a championship, and clearly the Jeff Gordons and the Jimmy Johnsons of the world understand that. Tony does not. And now twice Tony has inflicted, this time maybe, permanent damage upon his own organization because of his personal desire at that time. That, to me, is being stubborn to a fault. Some point, you got to hang up the cleat, the risky thing. You got to hang up the risky thing for the greater good. And Tony doesn't understand that as of three nights ago.
Do you think he should still be allowed to race in the Nationwide Series at least?
I think he should make the determination for himself based on the best possible judgment. Like, I'll give you an example. In the Nationwide Series, you know for certain the experience level of everybody around you. You know for certain the safety level of everything around you. You know the professionalism of the response team. You know that there are all kinds of things in place that are associated with NASCAR. And so that elevates the whole thing. So if you're a racer and you want to be a racer's racer and you want to race in addition to Sprint Cup, which is not enough for you, you need more, then I think that the Nationwide Series is a good place to get that out if you so choose. But he can't do that because that's a race weekend. He likes this stuff because it happens on off weekends and different times. The Knoxville Nationals were going on at the same time. Donnie Schatz won it in Knoxville, Iowa. His car. Why wasn't he there? He was here. He was racing. I just think that judgment comes into play.
Yeah, Rich, I'm not saying that there should be a rule that says Tony Stewart's not allowed to do this. I think that Tony Stewart now, with all this stuff that has happened to him, because last year when Joe said, oh, well, Tony Stewart shouldn't be doing this, I was the first one that said, hey, Tony should be allowed to do whatever he wants. This is his day off, his hobby. This is what he likes to do. But now, seeing how many incidents just in 1 year have happened, they showed now when they're showing that timeline of Tony Stewart, in this very same track last July, he took the blame for causing a 15 or 17 car pileup that a girl ended up with a broken neck. Broken back. In sprint cars, he broke his leg, missed half the season, and now in a sprint car, he's involved in an incident where somebody died.
What if LeBron James...
We're playing basketball at Rucker Park every off day. Don't you think it's not... The reason he doesn't do that is because you don't subject yourself to that. You don't put yourself in a position where somebody who's got nothing to lose goes and gives you a hard foul and takes out your knee and now you can't play basketball or something to that extent. Michael Jordan never went and played basketball at the Y on his off nights for a reason. And I think that Tony Stewart really should not subject himself to be racing with these lesser racers who just finishing ahead of Tony or just making a move on him puts them in a better spot. You never know when one of these guys tries to do something to take him out just because beating Tony Stewart is a big deal. For all we know, part of the reason why this kid got out raising his hands and screaming was because he knew it's Tony Stewart and that he might get on TV because he's going to be waving and screaming down at Tony Stewart, a big NASCAR racer. If it had just been somebody else, the kid might never get out of his car and form a scene. That's all I'm saying, that Tony should take a step back and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is a sign, another sign that I, as a big owner and being responsible for all these hundreds of employees and millions of dollars worth of contracts, should not be getting involved in this anymore. That's all I'm trying to say, that Tony should bring it upon himself and say, hey, you know what? Is it really worth me going down and racing with these people for all the negative stuff that can happen for me just to be able to have fun and say that, well, this is my hobby. I should be allowed to do whatever I want
to do. This is what I do, which is Tony being Tony.
That's it. And, hey, you know I'm a huge Tony Stewart fan, and as far as I'm concerned, he should be able to do whatever he wants.
I think that's the longest I've ever heard you talk in a row.
Wow.
That was amazing. Did you black out?
Hold on. Let me go to the file. Actually, Rich, that's about 15 seconds short of the longest ever.
Okay.
But
Sorry, my bad.
Tight.
Now, we're missing one thing that's kind of related, and it pertains to Formula One. Every week, we see a wreck, and they continue to have the race. And you see these guys run out on the track, these safety workers, and these guys are flying by them. And you just cringe, and one of these days, you know, somebody's going to get cut in half with a car going 180 miles an hour with those fins. We need to look at this not only for a NASCAR thing, but for the entire automotive racing industry.
Well, listen, I don't know who's listening to our little program right here, and I hope that they subscribe and listen every week, but maybe some big wigs at some big organizations are listening, or maybe some people in power positions are listening. But there are many moments that I cringe. You know, you just said cringe because you cringe. That's real. That's real. There's a definition of that. You described one of the times, Rich. Yes, I do cringe. I see those unprotected guys going out onto a track. I think to myself, they're definitely not able to pay attention to all the cars at once, and somebody is going to lose it and slide exactly to where they are, and we're going to see it on TV, and they're going to get pinned. Is that really necessary to have it that way? And the answer is, I don't think so. I don't know. They go to full course cautions every time there's a problem in Formula One. Would it make the racing better? Probably, actually. I don't know. I recently, as in within the last 5 years, was at a racing facility that watching very, very quick and fast racing cars. And there was a spot where we were able to set up a camera. And Carlos Hockenstuff, the videographer, and myself, we nicknamed it the death spot. The death spot. Why? Because someone was going to get hit there at some point by something at some point. Since then, they made the death spot.
They have eliminated the death spot. You can't get there anymore.
You can't get to the death spot anymore because it was a cringe-worthy spot. There are times all the time where I go around a racetrack and I walk around and I think about something and I might point it out to Giovanni and just think about it. Cringe-worthy moments that you think, is that the next spot that we're going to think to ourselves? That spot could have been eliminated if only someone had spoken up and said something or done something about it. You know, and there are times where I say things about these things if I feel comfortable enough. But yes, we should be going around every facility and saying to ourselves, this or the racers. Here's one for you, Rich, that disturbed me greatly. Your great friend Dale Earnhardt Jr. Did you watch the Watkins Glen race?
I did.
Did you see the huge crash that tore up the guardrails?
Yeah, that was a tiny hole.
Yes, a massive, massive car-sized hole in the guardrail. And they talked to Dale Jr., who is a very balanced character. I've never seen him get like wildly emotional about everything. But they asked him if something could be done about the guardrail situation. And his initial answer was, from what I saw, no, it would cost too much money, basically, to alleviate the situation at Watkins Glen. The reason Watkins Glen no longer hosts a Formula One race, we just watched Rush the other night. Rich, have you seen Rush yet?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
The reason Watkins Glen no longer hosts a Formula One race is because all Formula One tracks have to be up to a certain standard, a certain code that they created after Ayrton Senna's death. Runoff areas are mandatory, so the cars aren't hitting walls. The walls that are there are covered by something. There are all these rules and regulations that they put in place. And since then, God forbid, I don't want to say anything, but there has not been a death since those rules came into play. And for Dale Jr. to say, can't do it, too expensive, I reject that. You got an $8 billion television contract. You've got to support that. It might not be as popular as it was at its pinnacle, but it's still plenty popular enough. We're talking about some walls being erected and some guardrails being removed. We can't do that. Death has to be a specter. Go ahead.
It's a very simple answer to that is, if you're not going to fix it and get it up to code, we'll take the race away and we'll give it to somebody else. I mean, there's plenty of road courses that they can give this race to. I mean, the Formula One track in Texas would be great for NASCAR. I mean, there's plenty of spots.
But the ISC does not own it, and they would not be making the money, and there's obviously business decisions behind the scenes. I loved the race at Watkins Glen. I think that they should spend the money to bring it up to a Formula One or at very least American safety code that they feel will not cause a 50-minute red flag every time we go there, because someone is always going through a guardrail every time we go there, and then move the race into the chase and build it into this big thing, because clearly the race is extremely exciting. The battling on track is fantastic. It's one of the best tracks on the entire tour for excitement. The problem is we always have at least a 30-minute red flag while they weld a new guardrail because guys are going through it, and something has to be done. And Dale Jr. said, no, can't do it, can't afford it. I reject that. They can afford it, and that's what we need to do. Rich, here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang on the line. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to do fantasy results, and you're going to give your hippie tippy for Michigan live. Can you do it?
I think I can handle it.
All right. Rich York going on hold, and now I'm going to tell you folks about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, one of our great sponsors here on WFO Radio. I was just speaking with Marvin the other day, and the WFO Radio blend of coffee is, let me tell you, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. Three different estates that produce coffee. The beans are blended together in this special proprietary blend. You've got to try it. Give them a call, 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Say, hey, Marvin, these guys are on WFO Radio. They're talking about the WFO blend. They're talking about the new espresso blend, Bang the Blower. I want to try some of this coffee. Can you ship some? And he can do it. He'll drop it in the mail. The box will arrive. You'll open it up. The wonderful aroma of the WFO Radio blend will hit you in your nose immediately. And you will either grind it or he'll grind it for you, and you will enjoy it. We all enjoy it here at WFO Radio. Maybe you're not a coffee person. Joe, I would love to support WFO Radio, but I am not a coffee guy. I don't drink coffee. I know Rich York is a coffee guy. But maybe you're not. Maybe you like barbecuing. Spice Rubs, the award-winning A26 Spice Rub. It will bring out the flavor in whatever you're grilling. Or maybe you're just looking for a quick condiment. Maybe a hot sauce. Do I need to rehash Giovanni's story about putting the watery hot sauce on his chicken wing just to gain a little flavor? I do not think so. There are four different flavors of Rodak hot sauce. I have my favorite. Gio's got his favorite. Yours might be something different. Yours might be the Chipotle or the Hickory Heat. You can find out more by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com. Or just give them a call. Talk to Marvin. Say, hey, Marvin, these guys are talking about you. I want to support the show. I want to order some WFO Radio blend and something good. Send it out. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th. Only at CMAX Dragway.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO. Welcome back to WFO Radio, special edition of Ignition, as I am getting ready to go to Brainerd for the Lucas Oil NHRA Nationals. Kind of interesting that this week people can hear Ignition before Nitro. Nitro this week is going to be spectacular. It's a ladies' night. We're going to have Erica Anders-Stevens. We're going to have Brittany Force. We're going to have Angie Smith. And we're going to have Susan Wade all on the show. All guest ladies, except for Alan Reinhart and myself. It's ladies' night. Because this is ladies' night. Now, we got Rich York back out there. I heard you make some sort of snarky comment.
Yeah, I said too bad it's not too bad it's radio,
yeah,
and not TV.
Well, you get to hear their sweet the tones of their voice. You know, for the men out there, they like to hear the female voices, I think.
Just use your imagination in WFO land.
Exactly. Well, we know what they all look alike, and they're all wonderful people as well. You know, it's going to be a great program. I think people are really going to enjoy it. So we're going to talk fantasy results at the tail end of this, and you're going to give your hippy tippy, except you pointed out to me that the fantasy results are not done since we're doing it early in the week. And, you know, that is true. So let's instead, at least for now, give the results of the race at the Glen, which was won by A.J. Allmendinger, defeating Marcus Ambrose and Kurt Busch. I thought I had picked Ambrose. Ambrose came in second. I felt like it was a horsepower deal at the end. And A.J. Allmendinger just had more smoke under the hood and was able to drive by Ambrose and win the race. And A.J. Allmendinger is now a NASCAR winner. You got to give him credit.
He's a good kid, man, and he's got the children's power under the hood. So he's definitely got a little more under there to take him away.
Ambrose pulled a two-thirds of a car in front, and that Chevrolet just pulled it back and drove out in front and won the race. That's basically what happened. Now, you could call that setup, or you could call that, I don't know what you want to call that, but for me, it looked like those cars were pretty hooked up pretty well at that point and already rolling. That's horsepower.
The last corner, the last two laps, Ambrose got loose both times. So I don't know if he used up all his tires.
The tires might have been angry as well. Ambrose misses his opportunity. That is a great example of the new chase format. How you win, you're in. Guess what? A.J. Allmendinger is in for the most part. No, he's going to be in. He's going to be in.
And kudos to him for shouting out to the Ward family right away without even saying anything.
That was a great tie-in. You could tell it was genuine. And the racing community were all mourning together. And all the stories that were out there, and obviously the mishandling of the Tony Stewart going to race or not going to race situation, A.J. did a good job to kind of soothe that. A lot of people were watching that race for the very first time. It's unfortunate, but the people who don't watch NASCAR when there's a big tragedy story. They just do. It's just the way it is.
Happened after Earnhardt died. That's when the big boom happened.
Exactly. And this, I feel like this race, I don't know what the ratings were, if they're out yet. I'm sure they were good until the red flag. And then the red flag situation probably chased a lot of people
away. And that second red flag chased away whoever was chased away.
Yeah.
But
and that's where DVR comes in handy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Well, actually, I went out and picked up some food between that first red flag and came back, and it was still red flagged. But that's another story. I thought it was a great race. Clearly, road courses have become the new Bristol.
Yeah.
Or the new old Bristol, whatever it was. And it takes away from a race the fact that we spent the whole weekend before and after really talking about Tony Stewart's tragic accident.
A.J. Allmendinger wins his first NASCAR race. Here's a great American kid coming up through open wheel racing and champ car. Gets his chance in NASCAR, blows it, gets another chance, and makes the most of it, wins a race, will now run for the championship, and it is totally overshadowed by something that's not NASCAR-related, a terrible tragedy. That's a shame, I think. And yet I totally understand why it's happening.
It was nice to see Childress and Penske coming into victory lane, too. I mean, they seemed pretty stoked about it as well.
They did.
It's a great story
nice
for AJ coming back from his incident last year or the year before, the AJ Adderall incident. And he went through the right channels and did all the right things.
Did it absolutely right. Look at this kid. Total great comeback.
He comes back. He finds another ride. Got himself a ride in the Nationwide
Brad
Series.
Brad Doherty.
And he wins a race. It's a great story. It's overall positive story, positive for the sport.
It is. There's
the fact that another lesser-known driver who had never won a race is in the chase.
A car owner that had never won a race. Brad Doherty and the JTG Racing, diversity. Like, there's 100 different reasons why this was great, except nobody's wanting to talk about it. And the whole Kevin Ward, Tony Stewart tragedy is overshadowing it. Rich and Saugus tweeted at me, please, as somebody tell me road course racing is boring. It was spectacular, was it not, Rich?
I enjoyed it. I think the IRL road course has gotten to be the boring part of the whole auto racing nation.
Yeah, it's mainly because their cars look slow on the road courses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. Hey, we're getting a call coming in. We're going to take the call. You're on the air on WFO Radio. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I can't really hear you guys.
It's going to be a little bit low. You're going to have to tough it out.
All right, I'll just talk. this is Josh in Orlando. From the very first incident with Tony, I immediately thought to myself, well, there's Tony Stewart again. But after some time, it's my mind's been changed up a bit, you know, and thinking that, you know, maybe this kid shouldn't got out of his car. And you know, we see it all the time. But you know, whether it's NASCAR or any other type of racing. But I think since we're talking about Tony Stewart and, you know, his antics over the years, why we're getting, you know, a lot of blame on Twitter and, you know, and I would say it's about 50-50, when you look at it. But, you know, like I said, at first I was like, oh man, Tony Stewart, you know, of course. But now I feel like, you know, it's just one of those tragedies that who knows if it could have been avoided or not, you know?
The question I am asking, Josh, and that what I think is probably the most likely thing to come out of this is if NASCAR said, by mandate, by rule, the unprotected driver is no longer allowed to confront the cars going by under caution, and that move will be penalized severely to prevent it. Would you be okay with that?
I think so. I think so. I mean, you know, it used to be fun to see, you know, guys get out and, you know, have at it kind of deal. But, you know, just especially in these short tracks, I mean, you don't have reaction time at these places. And, you know, I would have no problem with them making a rule of that sort. Not at all.
And I think that's where it's going to go. Now, I would encourage another vent. You know, you think about this. You think about the water hose where the water is on a little bit and it's trickling out in a normal flow. But then if you put your thumb over the hose, the pressure builds up. I really feel like there always has to be an outlet. Some would say this is why there's fighting in hockey, because if they weren't allowed to fight, they would be hitting each other with sticks. And I don't know that I agree with that necessarily, but there always has to be an outlet for the drivers to vent frustrations with one another, whether it's be in the pit area, whether it be if they get in a tussle, that's fine. But the unprotected human body going toe-to-toe with a race car that weighs 1,500 pounds or more is not something we should have happen, I think.
Yeah. Totally and 1,000% agree with everything you said.
Well, listen, thanks for calling in. This is your first time calling the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I couldn't really hear you a lot of what you said. I mean, I heard you, but it was very muffled. But thanks for letting me call in and just give my two cents.
Appreciate it, Josh. Boy, he sounded golden. Like he was like in the same room as us. He couldn't hear us at all. Rich, on the other hand.
I hear you just fine.
He hears us fine. It's the internet.
I got the secret back, the bat phone, man.
You're on the red line.
You're on the red line. That's right. Red line. Go ahead. You are hearing us clearly. That is great. I'm happy that Josh called in. And I think we're all just dealing with this. It's like an emotional thing. I'm wondering, you know, the show's been going on now. Rich, you're getting your money's worth. You're going to get at least 2 hours of free entertainment. It's just, unfortunately, it's going to be a negative guys sorting through a horrible tragedy type program.
Time heals all wounds.
I got the top 10 in the fantasy
results. Look at that. How'd you do it?
Well, I went on the page and I was able to.
Do you have the biggest gainer?
Well, slow down. I said I got the top 10 for the week. I don't even have
enough.
It's not enough. The full season report.
Let's hear it. And now it's time to talk fantasy results with the great Giovanni in Miami, the realtor.
Well, all right. Well, the top 10 for the week. The winner, overall winner, both groups is NAR, 357 points.
Wow, NAR.
Second place, Pink Powder Puff Racing, who I would like to say went back to the Pink Powder Puff icon or whatever you call that, avatar.
Tutu.
The tutu.
Yes.
And comes up second for the week with 352 points. Tied for second, the great Geo Racing in Miami, 352 points. Don't ask me how that happened. It's the first week I've had any kind of good week in
forever. So just so I understand, the week that you calculate the results is also the week that you also did very well?
Well, anyone can go on there and look at the score and see that I got 352.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Pink Powder Puff, tied for second. Third place, JG24LKB, 351 points. So I guess that would be fourth place because I was tied for second. Nonetheless, next, 350 points. We have a three-way tie with James Gang, 99 Racing, and that's it. 350 points. James Gang, 99 Racing.
A three-way tie with two guys.
There was another guy. That's why I lost it. Well, doesn't matter.
This is very unscientific. No one's expecting anything here. Normally,
next.
This is all gold here.
342 points. Finish Line Racing, Youper, and Mr. Where Did He Come From? And the last one of this group with 341 points, 10th for the week would be Schooners Racing.
Schooners Limited or
Schooners? Schooners Limited.
Schooners Limited.
There you go.
Well,
sorry.
There you
Schooners
go. Limited. How did Rich York of the Dirty Hippies do?
The Dirty Hippie
He knows. He can tell us.
All right.
I believe it was 291.
291.
In fact,
yeah,
he
I
is
got
correct.
Screwed by Michael McDowell.
Oh, that was a bit. Well, that was the big incident, obviously. I scored 150 points. I had a nightmare scenario of having Tony Stewart on my team, and Rich is texting me last night, why did you leave Tony Stewart on your team, which was breaking news to me because I thought I had switched Tony Stewart off of my team on Sunday morning. And I was using the app to control the Yahoo Fantasy League, and I had put in Joey Logano instead of Tony Stewart, and either I did not save it, like maybe I got distracted by all the breaking news, or I saved it and did not have internet connection at that moment, or who knows what, but it did not take, and I scored 150 points, which Rich is suggesting that I say that the reason I left Tony Stewart was as a tribute to him, but that's not the reason. The reason is I just messed up.
Just trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you. But now
you actually got 160 points.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little bit better than you
10
suspected.
10 points better than terrible. Thanks. Well, but with Joey, I would have scored, what, 200? So
just a yeah.
Nightmare day. I had Brad Kay. I had Kyle Larson, so guess what? I wasted a Kyle Larson. I forgot to set my – it was a total, total fail. 100% epic fail. But why are we talking about such trivial things on such a serious day? That's what I am wondering.
There's no reason to.
Exactly. So let's just move on to this week's Hippy Tippy for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action for the second time at Michigan.
Yes, they are going back to the big track where all the manufacturers are. They all have their reps come out. Basically, you got a couple guys. Menard, he's always strong there. He had a top five, so you don't have to worry about wasting a start on somebody else there. Brian Vickers, who was really strong in practice there, who screwed me and finished 42nd, but I think he'll be good again. And then for your C's, Trevor Bayne has entered, and Justin Allgaier had a top 20 finish, so he's probably going to be a guy you can maybe count on and save one of your Larson or Dillon starts for the stretch run.
My last two Larson starts that I will have.
How do you only have two starts? See, this is the problem with allocation.
Oh, well, listen, the whole season has been a problem from 100 different ways.
Your last four seasons have been a problem from 100,000 different ways.
But, boy, can I pick winners on the picks segment, though. Woo!
It has no relation to this.
Turns out,
clearly.
Yes. No, well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Some interesting news coming out of Fox Sports to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the death of NASCAR driver Tim Richmond. NASCAR Race Hub will air a newly unearthed interview with the former Hendrick Motorsports superstar on Wednesday, August 13th, so this Wednesday. One at a crossroads, the Lost Tim Richmond interview features lost footage from January 1987 when legendary broadcaster Ken Squire traveled to Richmond's hometown of Ashland, Ohio, for an interview regarding Richmond's medical condition and to inquire as to what the future might hold for his racing career. The interview was conducted soon after Richmond, one of the first open-wheel drivers to successfully cross over to stock car racing, announced he'd missed the 1987 Daytona 500 due to health issues just weeks after winning a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series high seven races in 1986 and scoring a third-place points finish for Hendrick Motorsports. Wow.
I don't believe they were sprint car races at the time.
No, well, you know how that is. It's
I don't understand why you can't say Winston Cup. What's your problem? Anytime you have a chance to say it, you should say it.
Well, actually, it says Winston Cup right here. Did I say Sprint Cup? Am I that psychologically trained? Because it says in the text, it says NASCAR Winston Cup Series.
You are protecting the shield, sir.
Wow. Somebody out there should offer me a gig for that. That's cerebral. My cerebellum told me to do that. I didn't even realize it until you pointed it out. That's very interesting. I thought that was an interesting thing. Of course, a lot of us are very interested in Tim Richmond. Here's an update. Kevin Ward died of blunt force trauma when he was hit by the car driven by Tony Stewart. And the Ontario County Sheriff, Philip Povero, says the autopsy was completed. Authorities questioned Stewart on Saturday night, then went to Watkins Glen to talk to him again on Sunday. Favero said Monday there were no plans at this time to talk to him again. There is no timetable to complete the investigation. Favero says there's nothing in the inquiry that supports criminal conduct or probable cause, is what he says. And that also Tony Stewart has pulled out of a planned dirt race. Tony Stewart, this is from USA Today, as Tony Stewart weighs the option of whether to return to the track in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. That actually says that this weekend at Michigan. Stewart-Haas Racing says there's no timetable on the decision. The decision to compete in this weekend's NASCAR Sprint Cup Series event at Michigan will be Tony's, and he will have as much time as he needs to make that decision, says Mike Arning. It is still an emotional time for all involved, Tony included. He is grieving, and grief does not have a timetable, says Arning. He confirmed that Stewart had canceled a sprint car race for Saturday in Indiana, and any racing beyond NASCAR won't resume until further notice. And Arning said that Stewart-Haas Racing personnel won't be commenting further Monday because there is an ongoing investigation on the accident that claimed the life of Kevin Ward. Do you think Tony Stewart should race this weekend, Rich?
I think he should at least race in the Sprint Cup.
Yeah, his primary gig.
Yes.
14 car.
Anytime any tragedy has happened in NASCAR, the first week, for some reason, the team or whatever sits out, And then the next week, they go right back to work. So if there's no charges, you can't leave the state or whatever, I don't see why he shouldn't be able to get back in the car. But it does bring up an interesting point for fantasy. Keep an eye out, because if he doesn't, you can probably use Regan Smith for a C driver and burn one of those starts.
There you have it. And we ask the question, should Tony Stewart race this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no reason why not. I mean, get back to your regular job. I know that's part of the grieving process. I mean, I guess we don't know how people grieve. It's very personal and different. But I don't see why he shouldn't be allowed to if he so desires.
If he was prepared to race yesterday,
as far as we know,
as far as they said, I think that he can race this coming weekend without being disrespectful to the incident
or
that
insensitive,
especially with the police saying that there is no criminal anything, that it is just an accident, with everybody pretty much understanding that it is just an accident. But boy, get ready, Tony, because you're going to be under the microscope.
Not just under the microscope. He's going to have to answer a lot of questions. There's going to be non-NASCAR media out there for the story of Tony Stewart returning. There's going to be tons of media.
Someone might even take a flyer and try to say something just to get him angry.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. There you have it. Well, all right, Rich, it has been great catching up with you. Any final thoughts or point of note that you would like to throw in on this early week edition of WFO Radio Ignition that has gone on for a long time as we discuss the...
Over 2 hours, and we'll be available later tonight.
Wow.
I'm going to say that all the high-class, used to the high-life media people are going to hate life at the Michigan racetrack, because there's... one road in, one road out, and there ain't nothing around.
Yeah, that's true. You got to go there and be there for a while. I've enjoyed it at Michigan. It is.
We enjoy it. They're not.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But that is their job, is to go out and.
Although you are media scum, so.
Well, I consider myself in a different category. Scum. We're not media.
We don't really consider ourselves like reporters type. We're more entertainers.
Yes.
We're here to offer perspective,
like a lounge singer,
and
low-level entertainment.
I was thinking rodeo clown,
entertainer nonetheless.
I would call it the same category, and we definitely probably have the same agent that books us, the rodeo clown and us.
Same uniform too.
Yes, so you're spot on with that. 12 days till the next Formula One race in Spa.
It's about time.
Hopefully, they will be able to. Move in the right direction and catch up with these Mercedes guys. I think they are. I think it's happening.
Is Vettel going to even catch up to Ricciardo?
That's the real question, Rich. That's the whole reason we wanted to have you on. Are you a Vettel fan or are you a Red Bull fan? Which is it?
I am first and foremost a Vettel fan, but I do support Red Bull.
Oh, that was a good answer. I'm glad you answered that correctly. That was a test question. So you're a Vettel guy.
If it comes down to something, I'm obviously rooting for Vettel.
Well,
100%.
Exactly. But let's say Vettel and a second driver, like a secondary driver, that in this totally hypothetical example that I'm creating, we'll call him Daniel Ricciardo, were to come into the sport and just start beating your guy, Sebastian Vettel, with his own equipment over and over and over again, how would you feel? Would you be supportive of that guy who is beating Vettel, or would you feel antagonistic about that guy beating Vettel, or how would you feel about the whole situation, Vettel not being able to perform against a
four-time defending champion?
Yes.
Well, that's why I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for 1 year, especially with all the rule changes, but I am cautiously optimistic that at least we have two drivers that are very capable of winning championships in the future.
Well, that's true. That's a very political sounding answer.
But you don't ask yourself, how is it possible that this rookie is coming in here and beating the pants off of my four-time champion?
Yeah, how is that, Rich?
Maybe he's the next guy.
So maybe he's better than your Vettel?
He could be. We don't know yet. At least Red Bull was smart enough to sign him.
Wow.
See, Rich is good.
So you think somebody's better than your driver?
I said, we're going to wait till next year when everybody gets back on equal ground.
But these two guys are already on equal ground.
Yeah, but see, he's right in that. Vettel was used to the old stuff and has to adjust. This new guy is not used to anything and just has to do it. And so I can understand there would be a little learning curve for Vettel. So at what point then, Rich, do you dump Vettel and go with Ricciardo?
So why is Kimi
Ricciardo
not
then
coming into Ferrari and running better than Alonso?
Because Alonso
but wait a
is,
minute. I mean,
different.
Are we talking? Well, how
totally
is it different?
Different
the new guy came in. He's not used
he's
to
not
the stuff.
New. He's not new. Kimi is an experienced Formula One driver. He's got a whole bunch of experience to unlearn.
All right. Pointing stuff out here.
He's the Dale Jarrett at the end of his career.
Collecting,
Formula One guy.
Collecting the check. So at what point then, if Daniel Ricciardo does turn out to be the next guy, the next great, the next thing, will you dump Vettel and go with Ricciardo, or will you just ride out the Vettel thing as it goes down?
2.5 years where you were trying to get me to pick people, and I ended up landing on him. So I gotta stick with him no matter where he goes or what happens.
That's nice to hear. That's good. All good answers from you, Rich. You're a very knowledgeable character. Do you know that?
I try to live up to your standards.
We had Tommy Noodles on the show last week.
Oh, another train wreck?
No, it was okay, but you successfully recruited him into the car game now.
Yeah, he's going a little overboard with it, though.
Oh, really? What do you recommend he cease?
He should have some other aspect of his life instead of just posting cars and stuff on Facebook.
You don't think that's going to be a successful lead generation mechanism?
Don't bring your work home with you.
Leave the work at work. Folks, we started the show talking about wisdom. We're going to end the show talking about wisdom. And that is a great piece of wisdom from Rich York, the Dirty Hippie. Rich, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight. As much as we go back and forth, I know you're very balanced guy when it comes to this kind of stuff. Unfortunate circumstance, definitely a tragedy, but thank you for coming on.
No problem, and I'm still awaiting my stickers and my FUGO t-shirt.
Stickers? I thought I gave you WFO stickers a long time ago.
I have not received any stickers. I have plenty of other stuff. No stickers.
The pod is here. The portable
the pod is here, yes.
The portable on the man thing outside, is that what we're supposed to fill up, right?
Were you not able to manufacture enough stickers to fill it up?
Well, what happened is we have a couple of pallets there, and I'm going to bring a forklift so we can load them onto this pod because it's too heavy to do by hand.
This is the kind of stuff that I forget about on the show.
As long as you're not doing math and having, you know, a three-time tie with two people, I'm good with it.
There you go. Well, at least it's all settled. I'll bring you some
stickers. The sad part is I'm the one that's better with numbers in this room.
I'm going to be bringing you some stickers when I come up to the Carolina Nationals or the Z-Max Dragway countdown race. Coming up in several weeks from now, I will hand deliver some WFO stickers.
I will have a wall awaiting them.
Oh, that is wonderful. All right, Rich, thank you.
All right, later, guys.
Later, Rich.
Rich York of the Dirty Hippies, everybody, who is our four-time Fantasy League champion, a very, very knowledgeable NASCAR behind-the-scenes guy, and has done great things. Giovanni, this early week edition of the program, clearly there will be no picks at this time because the odds are not out yet.
They're not even out yet. It's still Monday.
This is our final opportunity. We've done a two-hour show where we basically attacked the Tony Stewart thing at all angles. The first-time listener, I doubt they made it this far. The diehard listeners, they probably stuck with us to hear out this deal. They know that we're hurting. They know that we're sad. They know that we're bummed out. Anything else? Like, should I read this email from Scott? We as racers all take the risk of serious injury or death at any level of motorsport racing. When there are rules and policies to drop your window net and stay in your car until safety workers get you, there's a reason for those policies. Jumping out of a car and dodging other cars just to show your rage is understandable but dumb. You're caught in the moment. I get it, but you also have to be smart about the environment on the track. As I look at things, it's a tragic racing incident that could happen to any of us racers on either side of this pure accident. My prayers for everyone involved and their loss, says Scott. Could you say, see, where was this email at the start of the show? We could have just signed off after reading it.
No, that's great. It really is. And it is. It's just tragic. Just a cautionary tale to everyone out there.
That's what I'm all about.
Your life in this day and age of internet and social media and everything, your whole life is a resume. And too many people that don't watch racing and don't know aren't racing fans just look at this, and the first thing they say is, well, Tony Stewart, he's a hothead.
Hothead.
I've had people tell me, how does it feel? Your driver's a murderer. Stuff like that. And it bothers me, but at the same time, Tony Stewart has got this reputation of being a hothead, of being stubborn, of being everything that he is that makes him Tony. And that is the real only reason why.
They love that.
But that is also the reason why people are questioning the motive here. If this had been Jeff Gordon or insert driver, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Burton, any of these other drivers, no one would even question whether this was an accident or not. The reason why it's a question or it's even brought up or intent is even considered is that people known Tony Stewart to be a rager.
A rager. Not in control of his emotions. Not in control of his temper.
And that's it. And so people automatically think, is it possible that this guy that we only see on SportsCenter and on the news yelling at other people and throwing helmets and attacking other drivers because he feels he's been wronged, well, it's not that far for anybody that doesn't watch and doesn't know these people to make a leap from, oh, well, of course he ran into him. Plowed into him.
How about that? And let's end it off. We've just done 2 hours. We've done 2 hours, and we still got thoughts on this. This is something that's not going to go away for a little while. It's not going to go away. This morning on my cable news program, they are not knowledgeable about NASCAR. What they did was they went to the file, and they just pulled up Tony Stewart's freakouts, and they strung them all together, and then they played them. And it's a lesson to be learned. Other people's experiences are a lesson to be learned. There are several lessons here. One, don't get out of your car and put yourself into a dangerous situation just to show your emotions on purpose. Two, it's a very short jump from hothead to murderer, apparently, in the eyes of most citizens. Because everyone went murderer immediately. Immediately. Everyone started pointing fingers. He did it. Murderer. Remember he broke that woman's camera? Yeah. Look, he killed this kid. And if you and your life...
He pushed that reporter. There's a reason why there's hot passes in the infield.
And Tony Stewart is a real person, but he's also a character in the show that we all like called NASCAR Show. And the NASCAR Show that we all talk about. That, you know, we... How many of you know and met Tony personally ever? And know him? Very few. 0.001%.
I mean, we've met him, and we don't really know him.
We have no idea.
We've only interacted with him
a couple
times. But I'm sorry, as someone who's been there and covered and spoken to a lot of these drivers, I find it impossible to believe that any one of them, Tony Stewart, Kyle Busch, any of the hottest hotheads out there, would purposely try to hit someone with their car.
Kyle Busch is a great example. There is a young man that should be sitting there, and as his wife and his friends and his family need to sit him down and say, look how quick the public said, unstable hothead, murderer. And they did it, man. There was the Twitter drumbeat. The tide of ignorance rose up, and everybody was like, yeah, he did it on purpose. Yeah, he hit him. Yeah, he swerved, and all kinds of stuff started coming at everybody. Control the situation. Control yourself. Don't let yourself get out of control as best as you can, because others are watching, and in the future, when you need them to know you're a stable person, they won't. That's a big, big lesson to come out of this. And don't put yourself in bad situations, which I think being there was a bad situation. Dark track, dark situation, inexperienced drivers, drivers who are not necessarily doing the right thing or in control of themselves, and all of these points converged for a tragedy. And it's just a very, very sad thing. Maybe you agree or don't agree. You're invited to call the wide open line, 954-889-6796, and record your message for us, and we'll play it again next week. I know people are going to have counterpoints to what we say, and maybe you think, yeah, I agree, guys, you nailed it. Or wrong, don't do anything. Or wrong, there's some other way to handle it, or some angle we didn't cover. Record it on the wide open line, and we'll get to it. I'm going to Brainerd this weekend. NHRA Nitro is going to be fantastic. There's going to be ladies' night. And we are going to have ourselves a great time out there in spite of the current negative situation. Hopefully you all will log on next week and listen to the program and join us. Thanks to everyone who called in. We got quite a few calls. Considering the impromptu nature of the program, I think it was very positive. And for me, it's just good to be able to talk about this stuff. I feel very sad. And to the family of Kevin Ward Jr., a 20-year-old sprint car racer that was killed on Saturday, my deepest and most heartfelt sadness and regrets and condolences. The services will be held in Boonville, New York, Wednesday 1 to 4 and 6 to 9 with the funeral the next day at 11. What more can you say? Nightmare tragedy. Need to learn from it. There you go. Picks will happen later in the week, somehow, some way. If you're going to be in Brainerd, please look me up. And don't forget to listen to NHRA Nitro. And support our sponsors, especially our great sponsor, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back next week. See you then.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.